Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Sports and Men podcast. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, and we're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh's Monday press conference today. Going to open up the chat room. Players today still, I think, a little sore after that 42-13 loss at Penn State. Definitely not the outcome I think a lot of us expected. I did expect Michigan to lose that game, but I didn't think that they were going to go to Happy Valley and get blown out. So real quick, I'm going to tweet the live link. And we'll get into your guys' questions. Sorry for the delay here. All right, opening up the chat room. Dale Terry says, I'm sore, yelling at the TV. Justin Green, hi, Adam. He says, his heart is still sore. I can imagine Aaron Wise. Hey, Aaron. Cameron Clark says, hey, Adam, sorry to hear about your news today. Thanks, Cameron. It came as a bit of a shock, guys. Unfortunately, at the end of October, I'm no longer part of FanRag Sports. The company's going into a different direction, looking, you know, to kind of optimize in some other areas. And unfortunately, I am not part of the plan. So it does come as a big surprise. It is a pretty sad day for me. So I am going to keep it kind of short. But I do appreciate all you guys out there who read my stuff. And don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. I will do this for the rest of my life. So I will rebound. That's what I do. And you guys will see me pop up somewhere. Who knows? Maybe I still kind of just hang around for the rest of the year, Michigan football, just because. And if not, you know, really, I really appreciate the relationships that I formed at both Michigan and Michigan State. Dave Obloff, Michigan football. Tom Weirat, Michigan basketball. Ben Flieger, Michigan State football. Matt Larson, Michigan State basketball. Really appreciate the relationships over the years. Those guys, you know, I've known Ben and Matt, have dealt with them since my days at the Flint Journal and when I was at Bleacher Report and even doing a little bit of stringing for Yahoo. So I really appreciate, you know, support and enjoy covering both Michigan and Michigan State. And like I said, I'll be back. So Zach Batts says, sup Adam, you see that tweet at Wilton Spate? Well, no, I saw one from his mother, though. So Aaron Wise says, sorry, man, that sucks. Dale Terry says, bless up, Adam. A door will open for you. Oh, I will, guys. Don't worry about that. DeAndre Wallace wants to know, do you think Penn State was just a more experienced team and people are overreacting way too much? I mean, I think Penn State was heads and shoulders the better team. I do think people are reacting and have been overreacting about Michigan football all year. And I've been saying this. The guys who've been listening to the podcast for a long time and reading my stuff, you know that I projected 9-3. I thought 10-2 would be the luck, everything in Michigan's favor, some bad luck for other teams, a peak Wilton Spate, a peak offensive line, and the pass game was clicking. I mean, everything had to be going, and with a little bit of luck. I thought 9-3 was doable, 8-4, and I said I would be more surprised if they went 10-2 than if they went 8-4. So I don't think it's a. I'm hearing people say like, oh, well, Michigan's defense was exposed. I don't think Michigan's defense was exposed. Like a fraud. It was exposed for a second on Saturday, but I don't think that, you know, Michigan's defense all of a sudden now is fraudulent just because Penn State went bananas. And I mean, you saw, this is the first time in the Jim Harbaugh era at Michigan that a quarterback threw for more than 200 and a running back went for more than 100 and a wide receiver had more than 100 receiving yards. So I mean, this was like one of those blue moon games that just, I mean, it happened. You can't undo it. It happened, but it's just, hey, it was an off day. You know, I mean, Tyreek Kittle had an off day. Josh Metellus had some issues. You know, I thought David Long played relatively well. LeVert Hill, but as a whole, I mean, Michigan's secondary, Michigan's linebackers, Michigan's defensive line, specifically linebackers, just looked overmatched. I mean, and you saw, I mean, Saquon Barkley had Heisman reel after Heisman reel play. I mean, it was a Saquon show for a second. Trace McSorley really carried them through that. And it is what it is. Penn State was the better team Saturday. I thought Penn State was the better team, you know, all along. But to a 42-13 loss, definitely hurts Michigan, especially if you look at just over the past 3 years. I mean, 42 points, more than 500 total yards. I mean, we're talking, you know, production that would take, you know, in these previous, you know, 15 and 16, that's like a 3-4 game stretch. You know, not counting the shutout streak in 15. So, I mean, it was uncharacteristic, but was Michigan's defense exposed? No, it was taken advantage of, though. I'll say that. Aaron Weiss says, so I've been saying this all year, where's the old fired up Stanford Harbaugh, all his press conferences, he looks defeated. I think this year's kind of worn on Jim a little bit, maybe, because it is, and I think a lot of this guys has to do with, okay, there's internal expectations, and yes, they all want to win every game, they all want to compete for a Big Ten title, there's, you know, playoff spot, and I think there are, you know, the internal realistic expectations, and I think, and this is just me speculating, I think Harbaugh knew that this would probably be like a 9-3 type of year, and just the mounting criticism. I mean, he says that he doesn't hear it and the players don't, but he is a coach who believes in protecting his players. He stands up for his players, and so I think that maybe it's not him that feels defeated. I almost feel like maybe he's, I don't know the right word for it. Maybe feels bad, you know? I don't know. It's kind of a layered question, and I'm wandering around with the answer a little bit, but I don't think that it's a defeated look. I feel like it's a almost like he does kind of feel sorry, I guess. Michigan fans are a rabid bunch. You got to see a lot of the stuff that's on social media being tweeted at these players, and it's disgusting. And it is I think as a coach, Harbaugh says, like I said, he says that he doesn't pay attention. He knows. He knows. I asked him last week during the conference call if he was aware of the criticism of General Cornyn, and I said, well, I said, you're certainly aware, and he said, no, I'm not. I didn't believe that. He's aware. He's aware of the criticism of the team as a whole too. So, Cameron Clark says, don't like calling for coaches head, but they need to be better, and I agree. Jim has changed. Doesn't seem like himself. Seems like he's lost his fire. I don't know if I'd go that far, but today was, considering the loss too, I mean, you know, coming off of not just a loss, but 42-13 at Penn State today. I don't want to say that he was upbeat, but he wasn't as it wasn't like the following Monday after Michigan State, put it that way. Zach Bass says, if the offensive line holds, I'm looking for a big game Saturday. These guys, Grant Perry guys, and I have there's interviews with Grant Perry on my YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, and share. And Juwan Bushel-Beatty, Ty Isaac. Is on there as well. Grant Perry basically said they want to take out their frustration. He used the word take out, the phrase take out their frustration. So I think that's going to be Michigan's goal. And if they're, and I mentioned this the other day, if Michigan has any capability of going into a higher year, if there is an extra gear in this offense, I don't care if it is against Rutgers, they have to do that. They have to do it Saturday. And guys, I just wrote one of my final pieces on FanRag Sports. Check it out. I tweeted it from my Twitter at AdamBiggers81. And just last year against Rutgers, just put this in perspective. I know they're different teams. Last year, 9 passing and 2 rushing touchdowns. Michigan has 11 rushing and 4 passing touchdowns this year alone. So, I mean, last year this offense put up 11 total touchdowns. And I'm not, so I mean, if there's anything, I guess it's going to like kickstart them. And I'll have something on Grant Perry later this week. If there's something, this has to be the game, and I do expect that we may see Brandon Peters at some point. Cameron Clark says the offense needs confidence, and guys, Juwan Bushel-Beatty talked a lot about confidence, and here's something, I do think that Michigan right now, they're not, everyone is confident. I don't think that everyone is confident down there. I think that there are a lot of mixed emotions. I think that there are guys who are trying to put on that face and say, yeah, everyone's confident. And I'm not totally buying it. I sensed a little, I think Ty Isaac today was a little bit, I'm looking for the right word. I don't want to say like angry, or ticked off, but you should do, watch the interview and the way that he refers to is like, well, things aren't as bad as everybody, you know, outside, like as usual, that kind of thing. I think they are to the point where they're tired of hearing about, you know, everything. And they just want to play football. It's still a good football team, but perturbed, I guess, would be a good word. Irked. I think, you know, I think Ty Isaac was a little irked today. And I do sense, you know, some of these guys. And again, they're humans just like you and I. And if you keep going, you know, you come off a bad loss and you gotta go, you gotta face all these questions. And you tell me how you'd react. So I mean, I don't think it's anything that's you know, out of line. Ty Isaac was polite with us, but I think that you could see that there was a, you know, some sort of like disappointment, maybe, you know, maybe you know, some, I don't want to use the word anger because I mean, he wasn't angry or aggressive, but watch the interview, you be the judge. He wasn't happy, I'll tell you that. Cameron Clark says everyone plays scared, and he says seems O'Korn plays with zero confidence. Seems like just, I thought John O'Korn actually had one of his better games. I mean, honestly. No turnover. He hasn't had turnovers for 2 weeks straight. I think more to, and this is covered in the piece that I wrote. I think more to Zach Gentry, or not Zach Gentry, Sean McCune rather. If you can focus passing game on Sean McCune, Grant Perry, run the ball with Kron and Ty. And I know that that sounds pretty simple, but I broke down some numbers, and I mean those are the guys who are having the most success as, with as John as the starter, offensively. Harbaugh the goat. O'Korn had two good drives. Is that supposed to be impressive? Harbaugh the goat. I have not used the word impressive to describe the way John O'Korn's played at all this year, other than against Purdue. I will say that he impressed me against Purdue. So, Aaron Wise, how many sacks did Michigan gave up? Seven sacks. And John O'Korn's been sacked 15 times already this year. 15. DeAndre Wallace says the defense didn't give him a shot in the game to prove anything. Stop blaming him. And DeAndre, this is not a game where you can pile on and say this is John O'Korn's fault either. I mean, I agree with DeAndre. Cameron Clark, he's a game manager, and he is. I mean, and that's what. And John went into this. He knows what his role is. John O'Korn does not think that he has to go in there and be star quarterback. He knows that he has to be game manager. That's what he's asked to do. Harbaugh the GOAT says Michigan needs to get rid of Pep and Drevno. Aaron Wise says that's what I'm saying. Everyone's bashing on him. Yeah, and John O'Korn is such an easy target right now. I mean, it sucks. It sucks to be John O'Korn right now in this context where everybody, you know, can just hop on their phone and tweet at him. You know, you suck. You're horrible. I mean, I don't think a lot of people know half the story. And again, and I'll go back. And I'll say this. Another team, another coaching staff with this many offensive issues, I would be shocked if they were also 5-2 after 7 games. I think actually the coaching isn't getting enough credit, and I know a lot of it, yeah, there's lack of execution, but is that necessarily on coaching? And I've made this point before too. You can go practice, practice, practice. If I'm your coach, I can teach you the technique, show the whiteboard, watching the videos, boom, you got it. Everything's great. You're practicing well, and I mean, if you go out and you're giving up a sack because you're having like in-game jitters or something like that, is, I mean, is that the coach's fault or is that the player not being prepared? I mean, I do think there's a. It's really easy to blame coaches, and in college athletics, you know, kind of the way you don't really want to. You want to focus more on the coaching rather than just blame the sole player. I mean, it's guys are not playing well. I mean, I think that's, and I don't think is it because they're not being coached well. I don't know if it's that. They're not, guys are just not playing well on game day. That's the bottom line. I don't know why that issue is. Cameron Clark says four passing touchdowns is terrible. Gotta blame the millionaire coaches not using our playmakers. Well, I mean, is that, I don't know, Cameron. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Zach Bass says Penn State is now what Michigan is going to be very soon. This is a young team, have a very big upside coming soon. And Zach, again, guys, if you're expecting miracles, if you're expecting Big Ten championship this year, I think a lot, and I've had this conversation actually with Jared Jansen, my video guy. If Michigan made the playoff this last year, I don't think anybody would have nearly as many complaints as what they have this year. Last year was the playoff team. Last year was the window. Last year had the experience, talent, everything across the board. That one was ready. Didn't get the job done. Is that on coaching? I think some of that, yes, coaching, certainly. And Jim Harbaugh and other coaches, players, they've all taken responsibility for that. But now you factor in that and you have some emotional fans. And I mean, you can look at it in one or two ways. Season's over, 5-2, nothing to play for, which I don't agree with. Or you could say, you know what, this could be, what would this, put all these scenarios and issues with another coaching staff. This would be a 3-9 Rich Rod team. This would be a 5-7 or 3-9 Brady Hoke team. Or, and not even to use those guys as examples. I can't blame everything on the coaching. I think there is a huge lack of execution on the part of players. And I think in a year like this and youth, you know, I mean that you, I can't stress that enough. When you have 43 seniors, 19 guys, you know, 11 drafted, 8 undrafted free agents, it's going to be some sort of drop off, but this isn't a massive drop off. Fans, I think, are making it. I mean, offensively, yes, okay, numbers, I'll give you that. But still, 5-2, that's the number I think that needs to be focused on if you're a Michigan fan, if you want to stay sane. And from an objective standpoint, I just look at Michigan is 5-2. Mathematically, still in it. Realistically, probably not. I mean, I was thinking, you know, or I was actually open. I was like, hey, you know, if it is a 9-3 season, the going to Orlando would be fun. So, but I don't think that's going to happen this year. I don't know. But Cameron Clark says, I just want a dominant online and a quarterback who can throw for 30 touchdowns in a year. I mean, Cameron Clark, that's what everybody wants. I mean, it's a, are those realistic expectations? And in the Big Ten, in the style of play in the Big Ten. Add in a 1,500-yard running back too. I mean, everybody wants that, Cameron. I think you gotta kind of temper that a little bit. Four Masterful says we don't have many playmakers. I think we're still holding out on hopes of what we heard during camp. They aren't there yet, but maybe next season. And this is a case, I think, you know, the best for this group of guys yet next season. Big Bubba Blue says, honestly, anybody can coach this Penn State team and be this good. I don't know. I mean, they do have a lot of talent though too. So I mean, and I'm sure it's a lot when you have that much talent at your disposal. I mean, last year, I mean, take Michigan for instance. I mean, I bet that was probably at least through the first 9 games was a relatively easy coaching job because you just had guys who were out there, really good players who went out there and made some plays. And I mean, as a coach, you. Okay, yeah, you help prepare them stuff, but it's the guys on the field that are really doing, you know, that were really doing it, I think. So I don't know. I just have a really hard time. I can't. There's constructive criticism, but I mean, I feel like it's so easy to target coaches and players and stuff. And if you've never been there or spent some time or know what these guys do every day, then it's difficult. Tank B says people need to stop pointing fingers and understand it's a young team. I agree, Tank B. Four Masterful says our D line was quiet. Gary was really underwhelming offensively. We're just not dynamic enough yet. We are 8 or 9 win team, but let's not blame it on youth. Zach Bass says Cameron, think of this year as a building block. We won't win the Big Ten, but it's a building year, not rebuild. Stepping stone, guys, right? Everything is a stepping stone to the next opportunity, and I think that's what Jim Harbaugh looks at as this Rutgers game. That'll be a big one for him. I mean, with five games remaining on the schedule, I think these next three are winnable, and then you know you have Wisconsin and then Ohio State, and if Michigan wants to be, what's the difference? I guess as fans, let me ask you guys this. Let's say Michigan does go into Wisconsin 8-2, comes out of Wisconsin with a win, still loses to Ohio State, or loses the final two games, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Obviously, you want to see your team win, but I mean, how much of a difference, at least to you, would a 9-3 season be as opposed to an 8-4 season? Is there any difference in your mind when it comes to that? Honest question. Ty Ramoy says offense is young and Tariq Black is injured. Plenty to look forward to. Great point, Ty. Aaron White says Minnesota will be tough. We aren't good at night games. Cameron Clark, I know Zach, but we're not getting better week by week. I mean, actually, Cameron, if you want to look at some of like the small things, because I mean, I think that's what you have to do. There are areas where they are getting better week by week. I mean, I just mentioned one earlier. John McCorn hasn't thrown an interception in 2 weeks. And considering that he threw three against Michigan State and there were five total turnovers, I think that that's an improvement. Michigan's running the ball, still averaging 4.1 yards per carry. That's a respectable clip. And, I mean, Karan and Ty, they didn't have the blow-you-away numbers against Penn State, but they had their moments when they ran the ball well. Zach Bass says, big difference. In Harbaugh the GOAT says, DPJ will be good eventually, and Black will be back next year. None of that is going to matter unless we fix the quarterback situation. Cameron Clark says, yes, a win in Wisconsin is a signature win. Wisconsin is a top five team and should still be undefeated. So, I mean, how much optimism would it give you? Michigan's beaten Ohio State three times since 2000. So let's just always keep that in the back of your mind. I don't think this is a Michigan team that can beat Ohio State. Just several reasons plus history. Wisconsin, you go to Camp Randall, you beat a top five team, and then you play Ohio State pretty well. Win or even lose, I think that the Wisconsin game will say a lot about these guys too. Going on the road, I think that'll say a lot. Tyler Moy says, four young quarterbacks on the roster next year. Quarterback situation will be okay. Marcel Wood says, great season if we go 9-3. 8-4, kind of disappointing, but it's a great starting point for 2018. But after the Penn State game, I believe you could tell this offense was built for Wilton Spate. And Marcel, I've made that point a couple times. I don't know if it was – I've always kind of teetered on it. Was it built around him? I think it was built certainly with him in mind. And, you know, are we going to see Wilton Spate again at Michigan? I don't know. A lot of speculation out there. That's a question I plan to ask tomorrow during the conference call. If Jim Harbaugh anticipates having Wilton Spate back this season, or if he's going to come back next year. 9-3 with a bowl win would be my hopes right now. And Cameron, on that note too. I mean, let's say it is a 9-3 year. Beat Wisconsin, lose Ohio State, 9-3 year, go to a bowl game, and it's a 10-3. It's a third consecutive 10-3 season. Is there really a lot of room to gripe about? I mean, that's still attainable, I feel like. That's still something that I think if you're Michigan that you're looking at. So with people saying, oh, 5-2, season's over, I mean, it's not. Season's over for the Michigan fan who wants it all right now. You know, first loss of the season. Oh, it's done. I mean, people were already jumping off after the Michigan State loss. This Penn State loss, I can understand why it upset people, you know, diehard fans, but at the same time, it's still 5-2. I mean, if they lost 21-20 and played, you know, if it was a close game and they played well, it was still a loss. They're still 5-2. Obviously, you want to play well regardless. I think they'd feel better about themselves if they didn't get blown out, but at the end of the day, they still return back to Michigan 5-2 with an opportunity to be 6-2 against Rutgers. That hasn't changed at all. Harbaugh the GOAT says, this offense versus Ohio State, man, that game was going to be ugly. Yes. Yeah, I think so. Marcel Wood says, not always growing up a Michigan fan, it was within 10 games and win the Rose Bowl. Cameron Clark says, what time is that Wisconsin game? I don't know. That one's still to be determined, I believe. Who do you think wins out of Ohio State and Penn State? We'll go into Columbus. Definitely that favors that being at home, I think, favors Ohio State. I wouldn't be surprised. I think Ohio State does beat Penn State. Got to give them a slight edge at home. But I would not be surprised if Ohio State won. But, I mean, if I got to go pick 8 out of 10 times, I would pick Ohio State in this. So I'm 80% sure Ohio State wins this game. Zach Best says Ohio State's quarterback has been tearing it up. Yeah, JT Barrett, the guy who I know a lot. Not saying you guys did, but a lot of Michigan fans earlier in the year when I talked about JT sucks, he's overrated. So, well, he only set school records for touchdowns accounted for, Big Ten records, and someone tried to say that I was trying to compare him to Drew Brees, who held the previous passing touchdown record in the Big Ten, and I was not comparing, totally different quarterbacks. JT's a really good college quarterback. I won't hear it otherwise, and I think what 1,500 plus passing yards. He's got like 18 passing touchdowns and like 4 rushing touchdowns, something like that. I mean, he's had a hell of a year. How about the GOAT says Penn State's gonna tear the defense up, Ohio State. Parth Patel says, "What are we playing for now? A mediocre bowl game?" No, I mean, we'll define mediocre. And mediocre in the mind of a really choosy Michigan fan, anything that's not, playoff, is mediocre. I think they go, there's still a chance, I think, for a New Year's Day bowl. Something along the lines of, or, I mean, I'm thinking it's probably going to be more of a Capital One bowl type of season. Buffalo Wild Wings, Citrus Bowl. And those are still good bowls. I mean, if you remember the Citrus Bowl, they played Florida. I mean, that was a great matchup in terms of programs. Michigan versus Florida. I mean, a lot of two-story programs. Both went in there build with the two top defenses. We saw what happened, 41-7 Michigan. So Marcel Woods says, "You think the defense was just emotionally drained before the game, knowing that they had to play flawless?" I don't know, Marcel. I mean, I have to imagine at some point these guys, if you're a defensive player, the pressure is all on you. All on you. It's gotta be a weird feeling, I'm sure. Harbaugh the GOAT says, "If we went out, we'd go to a New Year's six, but I doubt it." Cameron Clark says, "Versus Iowa State." Parth Patel says, "Next year we should be stronger." I agree, guys. Well, hey, guys, we're going on 30 minutes. I have some things I gotta take care of today. Still. Kind of planning out the rest of the week, playing next move, that sort of thing. So, I appreciate, again, all you guys reading my stuff on FanRag. Please continue to do that. And read FanRag at least till the end of October. Until, after I'm there, I don't care if you read it. So, sorry. But all jokes aside, guys, I really appreciate you guys watching. I want to keep the podcast going. I'm not going to disappear. This is pretty much the only thing that I think that I'm qualified to deal with. I can't imagine myself back in like the quote unquote normal workforce. I'd probably get written up for talking about sports all day and that kind of stuff. And so anyway, appreciate it, guys. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81 and stay tuned. There will be a next step, and I won't stop doing what I'm doing. So appreciate it, guys. Thanks for watching.